Days before Donald Trump was to be inaugurated President of the United States, a parade of extravagantly wealthy people descended on a village perched high in the snow-encrusted peaks of the Swiss Alps. As they approached the Congress Center in the middle of Davos, many fresh from the cabins of private jets, they confronted an impediment to their customary freedom of movement, a security check. There was Eric Schmidt, the former executive chairman of Google, surrendering his Android phone for inspection. Jack Ma, whose Chinese e-commerce company Alibaba had yielded a personal fortune worth some $22 billion, was emptying his pockets before entering the complex. Michael Dell, whose company once revolutionized laptop computers, plunked his device onto a conveyor belt that rolled it into an X-ray machine, just like the schmucks flying commercial out of LaGuardia. Jamie Dimon, chief executive of J.P. Morgan Chase, whose toxic investments brought minimal scrutiny from regulators before the last financial crisis, submitted to an obligatory inspection of his overcoat. This exceedingly privileged slice of humanity had arrived in Davos for an annual 5-day pilgrimage known as the World Economic Forum. The forum is overseen by a nominally nonprofit organization that has made it an essential assembly place for those most consumed with making money. In its half century of existence, the forum has turned itself into an indispensable stop on the traveling circuit of the global elite: corporate executives, heads of state, management consultants, venture capitalists, hedge fund managers, and public intellectuals, plus a handful of Hollywood celebrities, musicians, and artists, along with academics, activists, and teeming hordes of journalists. Every January, a crowd numbering about 3,000 jams the town, displacing the skiers who normally predominate. Attendees roam from earnest seminars on climate change and the future of work held inside the Congress Center to dinners and cocktail parties thrown at surrounding hotels by global banks and technology giants. This year, Davos Man was grappling with an unfamiliar sensation. Not fear exactly, but a soupçon of concern that people on the rest of the planet were increasingly prone to questioning the justice of his station. What had begun nearly two decades earlier as an inchoate movement against globalization, a series of unruly protests dominated by young people decrying the World Trade Organization, had burgeoned into a multi-generational revolt against the establishment in countries far and wide. Trump was the most obvious manifestation of the uprising. Though the billionaires in Davos were quietly salivating over the wealth-enhancing implications of American democracy coming under the control of one of their own, or at least someone who played a billionaire on television, they were also cognizant that his ascension reflected public outrage over what they represented, a gluttonous cabal that had seized the gains of globalization while leaving most people poorer and increasingly anxious. The United States was the primary architect of the post-World War II liberal democratic order, which had worked magnificently for the sorts of people who flocked to Davos. In entrusting the presidency to a reality television star famed for groping women, dog whistles to white supremacists, multiple bankruptcies, and open contempt for international institutions and trade agreements, the American electorate had effectively mandated the destruction of the status quo. Trump was promising to blow up globalization, avenging the long-term marginalization of enraged white men in the middle of America whose living standards had slumped. The people who mattered most in Davos, the corporate chieftains and finance masters, generally saw through Trump's displays of nationalist brio as a political charade, while focusing on the tax cuts and other perks attainable under his presidency. But they betrayed a smidgen of concern that the active empowering of angry people who blamed the wealthy for their troubles was a story that could play out unpredictably, with potentially unpleasant consequences. Britain was 6 months into its fractious divorce with the European Union. Brexit, as this bewildering process was known, represented an assault on another pillar of the global economy and the liberal democratic order. Many of the same forces that had put Trump in the White House had helped produce Brexit. As the forum began, the organizers had taken these developments as the cue to educate participants on the pitfalls of widening economic inequality. The bare facts of Davos Man's triumph were impossible to dismiss.